Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi there, it's Denise Eckert from Balance Me Coaching. And I love bringing you stories and different practices that you can use to reduce the stress in your life. Today I've got Dionne Thompson, who went from a job that created burnout in her life to helping women. Good afternoon, Dionne.
Hello. Thank you so much, Denise, for having me on today.
So can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Absolutely. So I am a life coach and a podcaster, as well as an artist and a mom and recovering people-pleasing perfectionist. I have been spending a lot of my time recently working with clients, as well as I've built a community site for women who are looking to end their battle with their inner critic and figure out how to put their happiness first. So that is definitely where I've been spending a lot of my energy as of late. And just taking the time to do a lot of reflection and staying grounded through all the change we've been experiencing.
Yeah, it's been a challenge. So can you share your burnout story with us?
Absolutely. So, you know, how far back do we go? So I am a mom of two littles and they are 9 and almost 7. And before my first daughter was born, I would have considered myself like that type A, which I later learned a new terminology called type E, which is like the type A everything plus all the woman mom stuff on top of that as well. My world very much revolved around order and control and my way or the highway. And I handle all the things and I fix all the people and solve all the problems. And I really, who I was and how I self-identified was very much attached to what I did for other people. And I strived and I felt like my purpose in life was to make sure that everybody around me was okay and that they were happy and that everything was put in place for them so that they can get what they need. And then I had my first daughter when I was 35. You know, I had lived a fair bit of adult life under this idea of like, I know who I am. I got my stuff together. Like I'm a strong, independent woman and I can do anything. I do everything. And well, she didn't care. She did not care one bit about the fact that I thought I had my stuff together, which I did not. She is a beautiful human and a blessing. And I think, you know, we often get the gifts that we may not ask for. I struggled a great deal. So it wasn't until a year after she was born that I really recognized that I was really in the pit of postpartum anxiety. I'd really just thought that this is what it was going to be like. Because I was the woman that people turned to, because I was the person that always had my stuff together. Since I was little, I've been told like, oh no, you take care of everything. You've always got the answers. No one questioned it. No one questioned what was going on in my head. And it was severe. Like I don't have a lot of memories other than the ones that are not so great of that year. And then after I went back to work is when I really realized how deep I was into the burnout pit, although I didn't even label it that because I didn't really know. After being back at work for about 3 weeks, I had an interesting situation with my boss. I worked in education, so he's a vice principal. And I yelled at him like a trucker. I lost it. And I am so grateful that he just looked at me and went, this isn't about me. And this isn't even about work. So I'm going to just leave you to maybe get some help. I'm like, at the time I was screaming and I was crying. And fortunately I made a few calls and then, and went and sought out therapy. I did that work. And that was a really monumental time. It really opened up my eyes to what I have actually been experiencing for years prior to. deep anxiety, lots of stress. There is a history of mental health issues in my family. And I was always like, no, I'm not like that. And much later, my husband's like, yeah, you were always like that. You just didn't acknowledge it. And you just pushed it down and like it was never happening. And so that took about a year to really come through that. And but still, it was the I'm going to just deal with this and I'm going to take care of it and, you know, not really talk about it. But I remember thinking after about a year going, like, why didn't anybody tell me that the way that I operated as a human was not going to fly? Like, I looked around, there was about five women that I knew that all had babies at the same time. And I used to look at them, how are they doing that? I don't understand. Like, I felt like I was not the woman who was meant to be a mom, even though I was happy, but not happy. I was very confused. And it took some time to settle into that. And then we got pregnant with the second child 2.5 years later. And I thought, I'm going to be fine. Because all those problems I had were about being a new mom and not knowing what that meant. That's really not what happened. There was I was off for a year. I went back, took me about a minute before I had a meltdown. And it really was this vision I had in my head of what I was supposed to do, right? So I'm going to figure out this mom thing. That's cool. And that's at home. And then at work, I'm still going to be like the tip top, do all the things, take care of all the people, orderly, orderly, orderly. And I remember the first day I left work with a messy desk and I just thought I was the biggest failure on the planet, like as if I couldn't handle myself. And after about 6 months, I needed to take a leave. And this was a very intense moment. There was massive, like, externalization of self, if you will. I was blaming everybody for my problems. I was like, it's because of my boss and she's all blah, 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 blah. And it's because, you know, nobody does this at home. And if these people would just take care of this. And it's interesting because a woman I work with who I'd known for a long time, she's like, do you hear yourself? She's a mom of like many children, grandchildren. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, do you know that this is your issue? Like, you're doing this to yourself. And I was like, ooh, like, that's huge. The knowledge was important and powerful, but it wasn't enough to get me out of the pit. So deep depressive states, uncontrollable crying. I remember going to my medical doctor and I couldn't even talk. I couldn't even utter words. And looking back now, you know, adrenal fatigue and just this constant lack of energy and sense of self and awareness. I ended up after 6 months of being back at work, I was scheduled to have a hysterectomy. All great. Everything was, you know, needed to happen. And so I had this time off of work right before I was off. Due to a series of events, again, looking back now and go, you know, with gifts you don't ask for, but people showed up in my life. Some people really challenged me to question who I was and what it is that I wanted to do. And I just thought, you know what? I'm going to just exit all the crap that I think is my problem, work, life, outside. And I started to do some of that inner work. And after 2 months of being at home, I just felt like I awakened as a brand new person. I would say that was the big kahuna of burnout that I would label as my big turning point, the one that shifted my mindset. There were, you know, between my first and second child, there was burnout. Before that, I would definitely say that I hit some serious walls of like lying on the couch for a week and not being able to get up, although I kind of delete a lot of those memories, like as if that didn't happen. After that, I still needed to make some shifts. I had much more awareness, but my external world still looked the same. It was all the same people and the relationships that had been built upon this, you know, crap were still there. And, you know, I worked with the same people. And so it took me about 2 years to finally exit that environment fully. And in that time, I did have another crash right before Christmas of a year or so into that. It absolutely life-changing, completely debilitating. Looking back, 100% preventable. But the conditioning, I think that women, especially of our sort of, I'll expand it, you know, generation plus, 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 are so made to believe that we have to be all the things all the time, everything for everybody. And, you know, I look at the hats I wear you know, mom hat, entrepreneur hat, wife, sister, daughter, you know, the list goes on. And then I look at all the criteria that I've placed on that role in my life. And then I try to do all of it. And the math doesn't work. You can't be 100% mom and 100% entrepreneur and 100% everything. Like you can't make that happen. And then physiologically, emotionally, mentally, the body just gives in and says, stop it. Just stop. It was definitely pivotal. And I'm grateful based on the trajectory of my life. I know that had I not made those shifts and not gained that awareness, I really don't know where I'd be right now.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be somewhere very good right now.
No.
And even when you say you're doing everything for everybody, you got to add on and perfectly.
Oh, 100%. And like, no question, people are just in awe of, you know, the greatness that I exude because I can do all the things. No.
Yeah.
Crap.
Now, the problem with burnout too, a lot of people don't recognize burnout at all. So can you just go through some of the symptoms that you experienced when you were experiencing burnout?
Absolutely. So I agree 100%. Like I said, when I look back, I go, that was totally burnout. But at the time, it was just like power through. I remember that being my mantra for most of my young adult life. You pull your head out of your ass and power through. Like, this is just what you do. When I really started to go, okay, there's something seriously wrong. There were some of the outwardly pieces, like the uncontrollable emotional outbreaks. And for me, there was a lot of rage and there was a lot of, the self-talk really was about anger, resentment, blaming. Like there was this constant narrative of like, if they just stopped doing that, or if somebody just paid attention, if someone just helped me, yet none of that would ever come out in a way that was constructive. I never asked for help. Just made a lot of assumptions about what people should know and should do for me, but don't do anything for me because that's my job to do it. And if you actually did it for me, I would probably feel like less of a human and not a good woman. And so then there was all this like crap, right? Physiologically, there was like massive weight gain, but there was definitely some discomfort, like bloating. There was aches, back pain, neck pain, just this constant stress. And I remember there was this moment I was finishing my master's and I was doing my thesis and it was all in the same time frame, you know, because why not throw that in there too? It wasn't even something I was confident I'd finished the work and I just needed to go and share it. And I got a headache that was so agonizing for a week. I got to the point where I don't remember how many drugs I took. Like I was just constantly like, this has to stop. I have to live. I have to do these, take care of these kids. I have to go and do these things. I just make it go away. Numb, 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 numb. A whole other series of numbing behavior, you know, the substances like alcohol and food, a lot of pain medication. I look at and go like Netflix binging, but to the extreme, right? Like the days on end, don't get off the couch, don't bathe, don't talk to anybody, just sit in the pit, right? And all of these pieces happen. And then I would be like, okay, I sat long enough and I've been immobile and immobilized long enough to get just enough energy to go, okay, shut that off, go back to life. Right. It was never, I didn't understand the whole idea of self-care. I thought recharge just meant get you enough energy to go straight back into the life that was actually causing you all the problems in the first place. It was not about taking a good hard look and go, what needs to change? It was, this is my life and I need to figure it out and just go. Now I'm much more conscious of, you know, the highs and the lows and physiologically the fatigue and all of those pieces. I've brought in some people into my world, you know, a gut specialist and energy workers and therapists and right, like just like bring in the team so that when I'm feeling a pull in a certain direction, I have some resources to tap into.
That's amazing. And that's what I found too, when I was working with clients that are helping through burnout, I found coaching alone didn't help. So yes, it's the gut health. It's, you know, just doing the exercising, different breathing techniques and things that work for you.
Absolutely.
So what kind of practices did you implement to help you get through burnout?
Absolutely. So one of the first things that I found fascinating was, now for me in my personal experience, a lot of my stress revolved around hormonal fluctuations that I experienced when I was having a period. And so every 2 weeks was a disaster zone for me. I never felt like I had control. So post-hysterectomy, some of that fluctuation went away. I'm not saying that that was the answer, but that was my situation. I started to get a little bit more grounded. And one of the things I turned to was art. And I was the person, I was like, I can't even draw stick men. Please get away from me from that. Like if it's not sciencey and like math oriented and like really makes sense, I'm not doing it. Looking back, following an intuitive hit that I didn't understand, but I started to connect with people on Instagram that were like creatives and artistic and entrepreneurs. And this is a time when I worked in a very stable, good on paper, don't go anywhere job. And it really turned to opening up my creative space. The other thing is journaling was massive for me. So I had a toddler and a smaller toddler, and I was started getting up at 4:30 every morning to take time out for me. And I started journaling, and usually every journal started with, I feel like shit, but I stuck with it. And so that was in the summer of 2015. And I've been doing it every day since. So the journaling led to a lot of awareness, a lot of aha moments, a lot of curiosity. The art gave me permission to safely be messy, right? So it created this container of it's okay to F up. Like it doesn't matter. And I even started posting it on Instagram as the, hey, this is me sort of trying to figure out how to do life one piece of art at a time. And then I started to write in a way that I was sharing with the world, not just the journal dumping or the morning pages like Julia Cameron recommends. And I definitely sought out people. So there was different levels. So I tapped into podcasts that I felt were really empowering in a way that I'd never felt before. And then I connected with new people in my world. I reached out to coaches who at the time, I didn't even know what that meant. I just was like, you seem to have your shit together. And you seem to be talking about things that I think that I would love to have, bringing in those people into my world. And I I've seen and worked with a series of coaches because I kept leveling up to a different space and a different bit of awareness. And then I'm like, I'm going to start learning how to do this myself and started doing the coaching work. It started out with just me trying to figure out myself, a lifelong learner. A lot of people say that. I just got so excited by the powerful transformation I was experiencing. I was like, everybody needs to know this. Like I looked around my world of all the women I knew. I'm like, none of you know this. You're all sitting in the pit, just chugging along, doing all the things you're supposed to do, living that checklist life. I felt like we were all in the dark. I considered myself a highly educated, smart person, and I had no idea what I wanted. I had no idea what made me happy. And like I sat with that for probably a year before I could really say, this is mine. This brings me joy. And I ended up setting up a little art station in my kitchen with my own Crayola markers and told my kids they weren't allowed to play with them because they were mine. That was really a pivotal moment when I was like, mine. Like, I get to have this. Like, do what I want and not feel guilty about it. So.
That's too funny. Mommy's toys.
Mine.
And that's wonderful. I love doing art as well. Now, can you just talk a little bit about receiving support when you are in burnout?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's fascinating. I had said before, why didn't somebody tell me? I'm like, because nobody could have told me, right? It was not in, I didn't have the habit of receiving. I'd never even fathomed the idea of asking for help. And so I think now there's even been a shift in the past few years in relation to, and you know, this openness about it's okay to not be okay. And one of the things coming through this past year is that there's a lot more awareness of like, you can't do this. Like, this is not freaking working. And so receiving help for me personally, I'm still the kind of person, I don't like to be told what to do. You know, I wouldn't go anywhere where someone was like, here's your four steps to like joy and happiness, and you just do what I tell you to do and you'll be fine. Oh, it didn't work for me. I was much more empowered by people who were modeling for support simultaneously. So the coaches that I invited in were usually ones who were maybe 6 to 12 months ahead of me, right? So they're like, I've been here. I get it. This is how this works. We can do this together. We're walking this journey side by side. And as a result, that became the kind of coach that I wanted to be. So someone who has gone through these experiences, and I'm like, hey, I got knowledge. You want it? It's all yours. And someone who can kind of shine a light on the path in front of me and then give me the opportunity to choose what my next steps are going to be. And sometimes be like, watch out for those rocks because they're going to trip you. So that was very helpful as well. But receiving support, fortunately, and due to, you know, call it the law of attraction, call it how the brain biology on how we bring in, you know, more of what we pay attention to, the more I focused on the people who were shining those lights, the more I felt like that was what my world was becoming. And so now I feel just completely wrapped in this environment of support, encouragement, and brilliance. At a time in my life where I thought, there's no way I'm going to get out of this darkness. There's no alternative to this crap storm that I'm living in. And so I just have to take it. And then those just little pinholes that were created by the people who showed up and said, nah, knock, knock, that's not how it works, it led to a life where I feel like just fully lit up.
Nice. So we're going to start wrapping this up. Are there any last words that you can offer our audience today?
I think there's so many aspects, there's so many things going on right now. And one of the things I want your listeners to remember is that idea of, you know, put your oxygen mask on first, fill your cup first, go deeper, go beyond that. Not only should you be filling that cup, but remember that it's not what's in your cup that people get to have. It's what overflows out of that cup. And what's created when you're just constantly focusing on your joy, your happiness, what lights you up, and that cup fills, and what ripples out is permission for the rest of us to do the same. And so the impact that you have on the people that you care about, which ultimately for so many of us was like, well, I have to take care of these people first. When you take care of yourself first and really put your joy at the top of your priority list, we all get to benefit. Everybody that you love is happier as a result. So if there was anything I would suggest is right now is just turn your attention to even for 5 minutes, start thinking about what lights you up, what brings you joy, what you want to invite more of into your world. And the more you turn your attention to that, the more it will show up, the more you'll have overflowing, and everybody wins.
Wonderful last words. Okay, well, thank you so much for your time today. What a wonderful story. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you so much for having me. It was wonderful. Thank you.
That was quite the journey that Dion shared with us. Thank you. Now, if you're struggling with stress, overwhelm, or burnout, you don't have to do it alone. My name is Denise, and I'm a certified life coach, hypnotherapist, and tapping enthusiast who loves helping women create happiness and balance in their lives. I'm offering a free coaching call, no strings attached. Book now, and let's move your needle closer to happiness today. Until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.